Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the scripture reading from Job chapter 19, especially verses 25 through 27. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand over the earth. And after my skin has been knocked off in this way, even from my flesh I will see God, whom I will see for me. Even my eyes will see, and not as a stranger, how my inwards long within me." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in Psalm 73, Asaph declares, "You, God, will guide me with your counsel, and afterward, after this earthly sojourn, receive me to glory." Paul proclaims in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He also states that he has a desire to depart and be with Christ. In Revelation, we read about the total joy of the saints in heaven. As believers, when we die, our spirits go instantaneously to heaven. There in that celestial abode of bliss and beauty and splendor, we will be completely happy as we stand in the awesome presence of the Almighty God, as we speak with our glorious Savior face to face. So then, if we already will be in total joy in heaven, what's the big deal about the resurrection of our bodies? Is this resurrection like a footnote to the whole body of Christian doctrine? Something sort of tacked on because, well, after all, it is mentioned in Scripture. In our text, Job speaks about the resurrection of the dead. Specifically, he looks forward to his body, though having been consumed by worms, being raised on the last day. And Job makes a big deal about the resurrection. His words prompt us to review what Scripture teaches on this subject, to recall resurrection realities. We remember that the resurrection of the dead means for Job, us, and all believers, victory, vengeance, and vindication. Job exclaims, "I know that my Redeemer lives." The Hebrew word translated Redeemer is Goel. Job, by these words, is indicating his belief in the Messiah, whom we also grasp in faith. One resurrection reality for Job, us, and all believers is victory. Victory over sin and death. Because of sin, Adam's sin, and our own trespasses, our own violations of God's holy will, our bodies are going to die. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes that the sting of death is sin. In that same chapter, too, he refers to death as the last enemy to be destroyed. For while our spirits will be in heaven exalting in the bliss of that place, our bodies will be under the bondage of death, decaying in the grave. Using Paul's words, however, we can cry out, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God's raising our bodies means that we emerge as victors over sin and death. Thus we see that the resurrection is the completion of our salvation, which we have by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God saves us. And who are we? Human beings, of course. And human beings, according to God's creative plan and activity, consist of both a spirit and a body. God's salvation is not partial, but complete. He rescues us fully which means that he also redeems our bodies from the decay caused by sin and death. The believer's spirit will have total joy in heaven. Both the resurrection of the body and that body being joined once again to the spirit, there will be an extra new dimension of happiness and bliss. Think of the opposite. God will also raise the bodies of unbelievers and join them to their spirits, which will already have been in anguish in hell, for an added experience of torment. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Another resurrection reality for all believers, besides victory, is vengeance. One function of the goel in ancient Israelite society was to enact vengeance, to act as the avenger. He, usually the next of kin, avenged the blood of his relative, which had been shed in murder. The goel took the life of the murderer. The goel was a guiltless executioner who was not to be murdered in turn. Christ has acted and will act as Job's and our avenger. The murderer involved is Satan. The devil led Eve and through Eve, Adam, into sin, and thus brought about the deaths of their bodies. In fact, the deaths of the bodies of all people, poisoned with the original sin and their own trespasses. Jesus said about the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. God had promised Adam and Eve an avenger right after their fall into sin. In Genesis 3:15, God foretold that one of their descendants would crush the head of Satan. Jesus administered one blow to Satan on Calvary, another blow at the open tomb, and he will administer the final blow on the last day, in part with the resurrection of the bodies of all believers to perfection, glory, and immortality. All that the devil took away, Christ has restored and will restore to his people, including a splendid, sinless new world. Another resurrection reality, besides victory and vengeance, is vindication. On the last day, as we stand before the Lord in our magnificent resurrection bodies, we will be vindicated in the sight of all unbelievers, especially those who were vicious, rabid, blasphemous opponents of the gospel and persecutors of the church. It will be plainly, dramatically evident as they contemplate their own miserable resurrection bodies that we were on the right side and they on the wrong side, that what we confessed and proclaimed and held to was indeed the truth. Our vindication will be by God's grace alone. Further, on that day, God will cite our good works as the external evidence of the faith which saved because it grasped Christ. In our text, Job longs for the last day because he knows that then his Redeemer will testify on his behalf. Job's friends, or his visitors, were in essence accusing him of having committed some secret, terrible sin, explaining that was the reason he had suffered horrible calamities. Job, knowing that he was not guilty of such a sin, could not understand why God had permitted him to endure such disaster. God, he thought, was acting as a stranger with him. But he also knew that on the last day, his divine Redeemer would speak for him, be his advocate. In our text, and the story of Job as a whole, we see that the crises and sufferings a believer goes through can result in powerful confessions of faith. If blows in life make us more heavenly-minded, and lead us to have an even greater longing for the last day. In that sense, they are blessings. And while the resurrection is a future reality, it has present practical effects. As we recall, Paul concludes his magnificent resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, with these words: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The God who will raise us from death will use our present work in connection with Christ to his glory and for the good of many people. The resurrection of our bodies certainly is not a footnote to the whole body of Christian doctrine. Well has the church included this truth in its creeds. The resurrection is a big deal. For Job, us, and all believers, it means victory, vengeance, and vindication. Thanks be to God. Rejoice in these resurrection realities. In Jesus' name, amen.